This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Can you believe it? It is the end of February already, and so it's time for our monthly Makaranga wrap-up, this time with Wong Siew Lin, the co-founder of the local environmental journalism portal, makaranga.org. You are missing your co-conspirator, I shall call him Lau Ya Hua. And today we're going to be discussing a couple of things. First, the 2020 winners of the 5th Asia Environmental Enforcement Awards was just announced, and two Malaysian federal agencies were among them. So Siew Lin and I are going to discuss the implication of these wins before we look forward to the hot and dry season that is upon us and what that means for the environment. Welcome, Siew Lin. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks very much, Julian.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. So yes, we're doing this without Ya Hua today, just for today. But two things we're going to discuss. So first, of course, as I just mentioned, great honor for us, you know, at that 5th Asia Environmental Enforcement Awards. We got in two categories, if I'm not mistaken. I'll let you, tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, I think it's nice to celebrate nice wins and being recognized by international bodies, you know. So I'll just go very quickly through the two organizations that have won it. It's actually gained quite good traction in the media, so that's very nice to see. So this is the Asia Environment Enforcement Awards. And what they do is to reward exceptional efforts on the front lines to combat transboundary environmental crime. Yeah, so that's what they do. And so I'll just go through the two organizations that have won it. So the first one is actually two organizations for the first category, which is for the Operasi Bersepatu Khazanah. So the two groups that have won this jointly is the Department of Wildlife and National Parks, who operate in Semenanjung, Malaysia, yeah, and the Royal Malaysia Police Task Force, right? And so basically this was launched in 2019, and it basically is using armed forces for the first time, yeah, to protect Malayan tigers from poachers, okay, and to increase patrols in the protected areas of Semenanjung of Peninsula Malaysia. Yeah, what's been really amazing has been that the number of people that we've managed to catch. So they've actually managed to catch 87 wildlife criminals, the majority of whom are foreign, but there's about 30 who are local. Yeah, they, you know, and you know, wire snares is the big issue in terms of poaching, and so they've managed to destroy almost 500. Yeah, and this is the scary part. They've managed to seize animal parts valued at 2.7 million ringgit. So that's quite important work that they're doing. Yeah. So that's the first one. Yeah. And the second category, and that category was on the category for impact. Mm-hmm. So they won the award for that. Now the second category is in a category of collaboration. And I am personally glad that the Department of Environment Malaysia has actually won this award.
Yeah.
Because they have been getting so much flak, right?
Yep.
Over river pollution and all the rest of it. So this is their enforcement division. And basically, this is to do with plastics pollution. And it's, the award specifically mentions their collaboration with the UK. But actually, what they have been done is, you know, the shipping back of tons of containers
That's
containing
right.
illegal plastics, right? So mm-hmm. these have been coming in. So there's a lot of media attention on those sort of things. And it's not just the UK, but there have been more than 200 containers sent back to countries like the US, to Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong. But I think even Bangladesh was part of it, you know, basically. So that's nice to see that being rewarded as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought of some takeaways from this. Now, not all awards are equal. So there was actually, somebody actually tweeted at us, you know, to say, like, do you have any comments on this, you know, kind of thing. So it's not just a bat patting kind of exercise, you know, because who's behind this? It's three UN agencies. It's Interpol. It's CITES, you know, the convention that's in charge of international trade in endangered parts, wildlife, flora, yeah, and the World Customs Organization. So it's quite a prestigious award, yeah. The second thing then is that what this does, because it's so prestigious and it's international, is it's important to mainstream these efforts.
Yeah.
You know, the environment always gets chucked aside, right?
Yeah.
So it's very important that enforcement work together with public awareness. So recognizing these efforts and such a recognition is actually fantastic for public awareness. You know, the media, for example, reported the IGP of police, Tan Sri Hamid Badur, who said, you know, the award motivates my officers and the men on the ground to strive harder, to score more successes. The war against these plunderers should continue. Mm-hmm. And to have a police officer, and highest ranking police officer, say this drives home the fact that wildlife poaching is a crime. If the cops are after it, you know, which I think is a very important message. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
It also encourages agencies to continue with these programs. It's important to convince leaders to support these programs, especially with resources.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's an added bonus that which motivates it even further. Yeah,
exactly. So these agencies, you know, Wildlife Department, Forestry Department, they're all under-resourced. They're always not enough funding, not enough manpower. So it's really good to recognize what they're doing and hope that that more resources will go towards them. And then I have to bring up the political element, because both these efforts were actually begun under the PH government, the Pakatan Harapan government, right?
Yep.
And by two ministers, Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, who was the minister in charge of natural resources, and Yeo Bee-in, who was in charge of the environment. It was part of a bigger ministerial portfolio. And, you know, she came up with the National Plastics Roadmap.
That's right.
But another two points there. One of it is behind them are actually civil servants, policymakers, pressure groups, and scientists. So, for example, Greenpeace and that tiny little local Jinjarum plastics group, right?
Yes.
Were the ones that, isn't it? Remember
yeah,
that?
Of course.
They created the awareness about the plastic pollution. And then with the Tiger program, it was MyCat and other NGOs who convinced, you know, government to do this. So I think it's a very nice pat on the back for them as well, you know. And the other point I want to make with regards to the political element is that the current government actually recognized already, before the awards, the importance of these programs. So both the current ministers of natural resources and environment, right, have publicly congratulated their teams.
Mm, okay.
Again, very good, and I think very important that they do that, you know. What's more, Budget 2021, which was announced last year, had put aside 20 million ringgit for biodiversity patrolling and protection, which is basically allowing, you know, this ops to continue working.
That's right.
And last year, under the PN government, 130 plastics containers of these illegal plastics were actually sent back.
Mm.
And they're also continuing the roadmap. So I think we have to recognize, you know, it's this government, that government, you know, that sort of thing. It's like civil servants are doing the work. If a government continues good work, then fantastic. We need everybody to keep their eye on the target, on the goals, you know, because the problems are so big. They are cross-boundary, they're cross-ministry, they're cross-political affiliation.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we need the police. You know, that's something we've always said about, you know, dealing with illegal trade, you know, and also the illegal plastic import, right? You know, it needs all these different forces coming together.
Yes, and political will, of course.
That magic two words. Yes, definitely. Okay. Yes, I mean, really wonderful. But, you know, something else that we are going to do for our Looking Forward segment, we are actually facing the hot and humid weather now. It's really dry. My electricity bill is just through the roof, I must say. You know, the difference from December to January was insane. What is the impact, you know, of this? Okay, never mind the impact on Juliet's wallet, but what is the impact on the environment, you know, of this hot and dry season that we're experiencing?
Yeah, this is a seasonal thing, you know, and thank God the Meteorological Department of Malaysia hasn't said it's going to be worse than anything else. It's not supposed to be an El Nino year. So, you know, we are not, hopefully not going to experience the terrible haze that we've had, you know, especially with transboundary haze, with the COVID impact on, you know, our dear neighbour Indonesia, you know, and the COVID impact on economic activities in Malaysia, you know, that the haze is, God forbid, we really, really don't need that. So last year we were spared. It looks as if this year we're going to be spared, yeah? However, with the dry weather, it's going to, Juliet's going to have to pay more until at least mid-April.
No!
Because...
No!
because that's when the dry and hot weather is supposed to last until.
Okay.
So the Met Department has already told us, you know, please save water. So we're gonna have gonna see the same thing as I think we should call it also the dam seeding sort of a period, you know, rather than just the hot period sort of thing. So we're gonna have to think about and be prepared for all those sorts of things. So you know, judicious use of water. I think it's the last thing that anybody needs to hear. You know, it's like save water again. What? Not again. You know. Thing, but it is something that is seasonal, and we've been warned about it. So let's do try and save water. But in terms of the environment, there's just two areas basically that I want to highlight, and one is food security, because as usual, it's the northern part of Semenanjung that's going to be affected worst. So we're going to have the paddy farmers again, you know, concern for them. We're going to look at vegetable growers, indigenous peoples, that sort of thing. You know, how badly is it going to affect them? The other area, other than Northern Peninsula, that's going to be affected is actually Sarawak.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarawak from Kuching right up to Cebu. The Met Department has really, really nice maps. You know, they forecast the weather right up until the middle of the year. So, you know, it's actually quite fun to scroll through and see, oh, anomalies and stuff like that. I love maps. So, you know, anybody who loves
I can see it in your face, Yulin. I wish our listeners could see the glee in your eyes.
Yeah, so unfortunately, yes, Sarawak is going to be impacted by this, I think, worse than the peninsula. And I really hope that the good folks in Cebu, I think some parts of Cebu are still under EMCO. So, you know, you need water to wash your hands and stuff like that. So I hope that help is going to be continued to be provided to them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the other thing to be aware of is, open burning. We really, really, again, every time the dry season hits, you know, the fear is open burning because of the peat swamp areas. And we have already in Johan Setia, that old faithful where, you know, every year the worst haze
yes.
happens the worst.
Oh, yes.
There's already been an incidence of that. That's in Selangor, of course. And that's a vast area of agricultural land. And somehow, mysteriously, fires appear there.
Mm.
And it's very, very bad smog and stuff like that, you know. So I think if everybody can... try and do their part not to do any open burning, that would be fantastic. The other area again is in Sarawak, is around the Miri area. Always, you know, the Mulu National Park, that wonderful Mulu National Park, just on the outskirts of it, has been experiencing bad fires. They traditionally have a hot and dry season, a drought season towards after the middle of the year, the second dry season. But I think this time also, you know, it's just a little PSA to say, don't do any open burning.
Okay. All right. I guess we got to just hold on till April. When the April showers will hopefully come and reduce my electricity bill. But more importantly, you know, stop any of these, you know, fires. And I guess the scary thing also is the water shortages, right? You know, the dams drying up. And that's always a fear every year. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, you know, it ties back to what my dear Yao Hua has been busy with, is talking about deforestation.
Yes.
we do need the forests there so that they can work properly as water catchment areas. And, you know, I think there is a trend. I haven't actually looked at it closely, but there's definitely a link between deforestation and, you know, water shortages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about water security. It's not just food security. It's water security as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we all know, especially as Klang Valleyites, you know, how much we suffered when there's no water. So we must do, as you said, you know, we must do everything we can, you know, conserve as much water as we can during these next few months. Well, thank you so much, Siu Lin, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Wong Siu Lin, who is the co-founder of the local environmental journalism portal, makaranga.org. And of course, you know, you just need to head to makaranga.org if you'd like to see all the wonderful articles and interviews that they do and to find out more about the things that they are working on. If you miss any part of today's interview, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my or on the BFM app, or you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.